This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Okay, put it in your calendar, everyone. Primary day is exactly 1 week away. That means you've got 7 days to motivate yourself towards doing your civic duty and getting out there and voting. Because there are important statewide races to consider. The governor's race, of course, lieutenant governor and state treasurer, too, and the race for the state's top lawyer, the attorney general. A little later in the show, we'll hear from Warren Tolman, AG candidate, in what might be one of the most interesting primaries this election season. But today, we're going to start with the gubernatorial primary. WBUR reporters have been following all the party candidates on the campaign trail, and this morning, reporter Fred Tice shared his profile of Attorney General and Democratic gubernatorial candidate Martha Coakley. She spoke to Fred not just about her political aspirations, but also about her personal history, growing up in North Adams, Massachusetts.
My dad walked to work often. My mom stayed home. We had five children. We had, family vacations together. We were involved in our church. And we, of course, were in a city where there were lots of big families, and my brother and sisters all had friends from the families, too. So I loved it.
Coakley, of course, made her name in Massachusetts as Attorney General. Fred Tice joins us now with more on what Coakley's legal career tells us about her gubernatorial ambitions. Hi, Fred.
Hi, Meghna.
So before we start talking about some of the issues that you covered with Martha Coakley, let's just talk a little bit more about her early life. For example, her time at Williams College.
Well, she was a pioneer there. She was among the first class of women at Williams College. This was the early 70s. And one of the things that she ended up doing as part of the first class of women at Williams College was getting together with other women to devise a guide to health and sex at the college, which is something the college had never considered before.
It was a different time period. In the 70s, Roe versus Wade had been decided, and I think we were all making sure that women had the right health information. Williams hadn't been really equipped to deal with gynecologists and women's health issues.
So, Fred, Martha Coakley obviously showed a bent towards leadership from the time when she was a young woman.
Absolutely, yeah.
After Williams College, Martha Coakley, of course, went on to become a lawyer, and she actually was involved in some high-profile cases during her time as Middlesex County DA in the late 90s. For example, the infamous Fells Acre daycare case. And would you talk to her about that?
Let's go back and get a little context first. The Fells Acres case was part of this national wave of sexual assault cases against children in daycare centers. There was another famous case out in California. But it also involved the question of whether children were in fact being coached by prosecuting teams into remembering things that had never happened. Coakley did not prosecute that case, but when she became Middlesex DA, she inherited that case. She made a deal with Cheryl Emerald. Her family, the Emerald family, had run the Fells Acres Center, and Cheryl Emerald would get out of prison, but she could never talk about that case and never profit from talking about that case. I asked Coakley about it, and this is what she had to say.
We said, we appreciate that you've done your time. It would mean the end of further appeals. But the one thing that the families want here is that this can go away for them, that they're not constantly reminded or attacked or being accused of being wrongfully testifying, because I believed and still believe that those children were telling the truth about what had happened at Fells Acre. And she did agree to that condition.
Fred, did Martha Coakley tell you why having this as one of the conditions for Amaralt's release was important to her?
I mean, yeah.
She says clearly that she thinks that the children were telling the truth.
She believes that they were telling the truth, but also she just did not want the children who were now growing up and their families to be re-victimized.
Well, Martha Coakley also prosecuted another very high-profile case, that of English au pair Louise Woodward, who was accused of shaking a child to death, and this was, again, when Coakley was in the Middlesex County DA's office. You spoke to Jerry Leone, who worked with her on that case, and what did he tell you about that process?
I was really intrigued by this because the first time that I've ever noticed Martha Coakley was on CNN. I didn't even live in Boston. And when I came to Boston, I remember that she had been criticized quite a bit for supposedly pressing too hard in the prosecution for that case. She pressed for a first-degree murder conviction. The jury found second-degree murder. And the judge in the case overturned the conviction, saying that there was absolutely no evidence for a jury to have found second-degree murder, found instead manslaughter, and the next thing we knew, Louise Woodward was on a plane back to the United Kingdom. And I asked Jerry Leone, who was the lead prosecutor in the case, and he says, you know, that's not really what happened. A grand jury months before had handed down an indictment for first-degree murder. It was another prosecutor who ended up having to leave on maternity leave who had gotten that indictment. Jerry Leone and Martha Coakley then picked up the case, and they just pressed on with it.
Well, Fred, let's move ahead to Martha Coakley's time as Attorney General for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, because presumably that's what most people know her for. And as AG, she's been part of many high-profile cases in the state. There are the challenges that she launched to the Defense of Marriage Act, and also the fact that her office attempted to keep the ballot question about a casino referendum off the November ballot. So a couple high-profile cases there. But also, more recently, even in the realm of healthcare, she negotiated an agreement with Partners Healthcare that drew a lot of criticism, including from Republican Charlie Baker. Tell us a little bit more about that.
So this agreement with Partners Healthcare, which still has to be approved by a judge, looks at Partners and approves its takeover of three additional hospitals and hundreds of new doctors that are going to be now in the part of the Partners system. What she's trying to do, what Coakley's trying to do, is prevent costs from going up too much, right? Heavily criticized agreement. The State Health Policy Commission staff report has said, you know, this agreement is going to raise healthcare costs.
Well, Fred, so let me ask you. So you've reported on Martha Coakley's very interesting career in Massachusetts over the past many years. We've heard some of the big cases that she's been a part of. But it just reminds me that this weekend when the Boston Globe came out with its endorsement, for whatever endorsements are worth, they endorsed Steve Grossman and not Martha Coakley, in part because the Globe said that Coakley, quote, hasn't fully explained why she wants to be governor. And I'm wondering, I mean, if your time with her can help elucidate that answer, because she's been a very successful attorney and attorney general for Massachusetts. Why the pull towards the governor's office?
No, I can't answer that question for you. I really can't. I asked her, you know, what she'd like to accomplish, and she mentioned many things. It went on for quite a while, but I never got the sense that there was an overarching desire to achieve something for the state of Massachusetts. I never really heard that overarching vision.
Well, Fred Tice covers politics and higher education for WBUR. For a link to his profile of Martha Coakley, you can go to our website, radioboston.org. Fred, thank you.
I'm glad to do it.